when this flu bug passes, you get back to full strength, this place is really going to hum.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, it's we're firing on just a few cylinders, and God is in it.
Amen.
Just, well, I'm glad you're here. Just, there's a lot of things I want to say, but I think I'll just get right to work. If you're interested or curious about where the money's going, again, I asked I could keep some for the gasoline and so on, but the bulk of that money that you've put in is going to be buying some shirts. Not just shirts, but I have a brochure. It's called the Coconut Tree Project. That's our newest project. And when children, Vietnamese children, when they learn, I think the first four verses, they get a pen. And they get their own pen. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Really, they don't have a pen. And then I think when they memorize like 16 or 24, I forgot the number, when they get to the next stage, they get a little book. So they don't have to write it on their hand, like, you know, or they have to steal toilet paper out of the fancy restaurant to use as a... And then, when they graduate, it's either 64 or 72 Bible verses they've memorized, they get a shirt. So we're doing the whole package, the book and the pen. I'm still thinking in Vietnamese, book, book, and pen, and owl, the shirt for, it's about $7 our costs. So what you're going to do is you're going to stock at least, I'll probably match what you guys do or something. I'll do something. We're going to have 100 kids, 100 Vietnamese kids, and we're laying a foundation. You know, it's just the beginning. It's good. How can the Spirit bring to remembrance something that they've never remembered in the first place, right? So it's good. Here in the U.S., we have Patch the Pirate and all kind of stuff like that. In Vietnam, they have nothing. There's nothing. I mean, there's no, there's been 40 years of communism. And so there's this big gap. Up until 1975, the Christian church was pretty active and they were a lot. Then from 75 until, well, we're starting now, this year, there's been nothing. So you have a generation or two that is just clueless. It's kind of like, well, I'm not down on the United States, but the United States is slipping down. I mean, I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly or anything, but, and if you've been outside, you've lived in places like Vietnam, the United States looks really good. I mean, praise God. There's still a lot of good stuff here, and this is where my mother and father are. You know, this is our family, and this is our country. But I'm happy that we could do that for another people in another part of the globe, and they so appreciate your help. So from them, if they were here, they would say in the most humble and sweet way, and with the poorest English possible, they'd say thank you. They'd say, "Come on, rutten you, Chi Hoi, Black Creek. Thank you, congregation of Black Creek." So, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're moving. We're into 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I'll try not to keep you too long. You notice I haven't been pulling out those old jokes. You know, I only know a couple jokes. I've been just trying to get to work, right?
Amen.
Now, you know the Irish joke, right? I've done that here before. Oh, the Haynes haven't been here. Wow. Okay. Well, this is just for you folks. What's Irish? Pastor Haynes probably uses this one already, right? What's Irish and stays out all night? Anybody? Can you help? Have I done that one here? You would remember it. Okay, Irish. Hey, who's Irish here? You can't. All right, you can't cheat. Don't ask the Irish people. What's Irish and stays out all night? Why, it's patio furniture. Why is that stupid? Well, I got to do my obligatory joke. I love the reaction. Patio furniture. Yeah. It only works Irish.
I got it.
Well, we'll move along. I don't want to keep you too late tonight. I think last night we stayed a little late, so I'm going to try to top it tonight. Just kidding. If you were killed by a wild pig, this is more for Baptist churches. If you were killed by a wild pig, does that mean you'd be bored to death? All right, you're going to miss them, I know. It's probably the only thing that was recorded. Everything else would be lost. What a dope. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Thus, now, between where we were reading the last few days, David is handing the baton to his son Solomon, and David's fixing to die. He knows he's old. He's passing it on, and he's telling him about the work. He wanted to build a house for God, but God didn't. God would rather have his son get the glory, and you know these things and that things. And David says, "Well, I prepared all things and so on." And he's made the formal statement in front of all the people, the leaders and the elders and the leaders of the congregation, that now Solomon, and they blessed Solomon and they rejoiced and they worshiped God, right? And the nation of Israel is a people. By the way, I think Black Creek is we're heading that way too. They're on the up and up. Amen. That doesn't mean there wasn't problems, but they're on the up and up. They've got God in their sights. They're focused and they're worshiping God and so on. And now the chapters that we skipped from 2 Chronicles 1 until 5 is the temple, the great temple, the work that David had so desired to do, his son has done. And now we're picking up the narrative here in chapter 5. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Father, thank you that we could meet peaceably. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to post for police that would raid us. Thank you, Lord, we can rejoice together with you. Lord, we're sorry for those who are ill, and many are ill, but God, I pray that you'd comfort them at this time. I pray they'd be encouraged to maybe hear the word by radio or internet or some way. And Lord, I just pray that you'd strengthen those. We miss them. Lord, we're thankful for those that are here. Many that are here are in pain. Physical pain. God, I pray that you just take that away and let them enjoy and relax and soak in the Word of God, and it would run deep and thick and stay with them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. His father wanted to do it, but God had another plan. I wish that we, like Solomon, would simply use the things that have already been dedicated to build people, to build things for God. You know, Solomon didn't have to do much. It was already provided. Amen? But the one thing that he did is something that we can do. Back in the very first section, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Our text today is finished. Let's finish it. Amen? We've got some work to do. We've started work. God started a work in us. Let's not finish. Let's not leave it undone. And if you're a homeowner here, and you're like most homeowners, maybe you're already feeling guilty because that bathroom that you promised your wife to finish, you haven't finished, right? Or that clean that garage hasn't been done yet. We're not talking about that today, though, so I'll let you off the hook. Our focus really is on us. All the time that we think we're working for God, really God is working in us. He's making us. He would have us to be perfect in a sense, not like, you know, your tie is perfectly straight and stuff, but you're in the sense of a mature person. You act God-like. You represent him very well. We are true ambassadors to his grace and his glory and his dignity and his forgiveness and his power. All things have been provided. So let's just get it done. Amen?
Amen.
Keep your place here. I don't know if we'll be back. Maybe you don't have to. Nah, you don't need to keep your place here. Colossians chapter 1. Go to New Testament, Colossians chapter 1. I love these. This is a verse. Some of the messages this week, I really didn't like them. This one I really like. I think it's because my mother is German, and they have this. The Germans just seem to have this, like, that Teutonic thoroughness to get things done. It doesn't mean if it's good or bad. I mean, you know, it might be to execute millions of people, but if they get it done and do it right, dude, they do it in order, then it's okay, you know. Don't leave anything undone, you know. They would catalog, I read this, the Holocaust Chronicle, they would catalog, you know, how much people weighed, how much gas it would take per person, and, you know, they're engineers and so on. I'm not saying a word like that, but the whole idea of, like, thoroughness and finishing the work is a good thing. Amen? And we'll see that in a minute. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul wrote, thank you. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. I'm here to fulfill the word of God. I want to see it through. I want to see it to the end. I want to see it finished. And how do I see it finished? I see it finished in you. Right? I see you growing, then I'm fulfilled. That's my deal. Amen. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. There's a colon there that means things after the colon explain or magnify the things before the colon, right? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. I hope my prayer for Black Creek Baptist Church is that we would become more perfect. Does that mean we cross our T's and dot our I's? Again, that's not the sense. The sense is grow up, be mature. The way you act, the way you respond, the way you're, we're talking about your default setting, right?
Yeah.
Maybe for years you had a certain default setting. If you were prone to be a violent person, that's how you would act. Or if you were prone to be a pouter or, you know, a scalawag or a gossiper or something, that's what you would do when there was a trouble, or you're prone to tip the bottle or snort, put something, some change your state by snorting something up your nose or whatever. That's what you've typically done. But that's not the maturity that we need in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The maturity is this, that we could present not just this person, but all of us together as a congregation. Can we grow together? Can we exercise grace and forgiveness? Can we have a little latitude? Is it okay? And then it's a good thing. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to the working, which worketh in me mightily. You know, this type of maturity, this isn't something we need to experiment with. It's not like, have you seen those tire commercials? That guy has to climb the mountain with the Dalai Lama guy sitting there. You know, he's sitting there. It's like Tibet or something. This guy's sitting there, you know, in the turban, like a you know, guru of some kind. The guy climbs this mountain. He gets up there, and I don't often quote commercials, but I just thought it was so cute. The guy gets up there, and the guy says, he's like Chinese, you know. I gave you one answer and one question. And the guy says, Do I put on snow tires or something? You know, something crazy. You know, something has nothing to do with it. The guy's like, why? You know. What's a snow tire? We don't have to. People, we have this idea to be holy. You have to be, like, you have to walk around in a robe. You can't wear jeans, and you can't wear your work clothes, right? Excuse me, but I think you can be holy and go to work, right? I think you can be holy and just deal with that family member that is difficult to deal with. Is there anybody here that doesn't have that kind of kooky uncle, you know? Don't we all have, you know, uncle so-and-so, we wish they'd go back in the closet kind of uncle, you know, that type of person? Maybe your whole family is like that. Maybe they think you're the kooky one, you know? That's it. But maturity is good. We need to count the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it. A lot of times you drive through these areas and, oh, every so often you see a house that started and they got the foundation in, they might have a few of the sticks up. It just sits there blowing in the wind, you know, Tyvek blowing, the roof didn't get done. They ran out of money, got a divorce, something happened, right? They gambled it, they lost it, something happened and it just sits there unfinished. I think many times, I preach to a lot of people and I meet a lot of people in the world. I feel like I'm talking to someone like that. The Tyvek blowing in the wind. God had started a good work. I mean, I believe that God had started something. But whatever reason, maybe it's the flash in the pan Christianity, right? They want to be so popular and so that, okay, whatever. I want to be a preacher. I want to do this. It's like, I was talking to, I've got pet peeves, you know, everybody does. One of my pet peeves is when they call the young guys that feel led of the Lord to preach, they call them preacher boys, right? Again, it's not going to kill me. I wish they wouldn't do that. It's just like I wish people would say, oh my God. You hear that a lot. Oh my God. What? What are you talking about? But a preacher boy, preaching is not a boy's job. Amen? Boys play. Men work. Amen. And preaching is work. Because what you're saying, you're going to have to live. The nice thing about teaching is, you honestly, just from a carnal perspective, you can be the most backslidden creature in the world, and you can just teach away, teach away, teach away. You start preaching, you start poking around people's hearts, right? You start pulling the veil back, because that's where they live. And you got to get that stuff in and pull it out. You got to get the light in there. And then you're the one doing it. And they don't like it. They resent it. And pretty soon the attacks will come on you. Right. I don't think the devil cares at all when you're just teaching. You start preaching, you start stirring people around, get stuff up. Pretty soon things start happening to you, you know, like bad things. Yeah, you're meeting some resistance. It's okay. I mean, keep on keeping on. Amen? All right, you saw a purpose. That was a purpose. Go to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. If you call them preacher boys here, it's okay. All right, I'm not gonna return the offering. I've never had a bank teller when I take the check. I've never had the bank teller say, "No, I don't know. I think these people lean charismatic. I don't know if I can cash this." They never tell me that, you know. It's like, okay, I'll just take that. You know, it's all green. You know, that's the missionary perspective. And you know, this is very common, this is a popular passage here, but when Jesus, 19 verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is started." Now he said, "It's finished." The work of redemption is finished. Amen? There's no more, we don't have to do any more sacrifices, right? We don't have to kill any more lambs, we don't have to kill any more bulls, pigeons, and any other thing. The blood has been spilled. All those other things were models, they were patterns, right, of things to come, the better thing to come. The better thing has come. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And, you know, it's what's interesting, on your way to finishing something, the way to finish it, the way to life is through death. The difference about Jesus Christ from any other so-called leader, when the pressure gets on them, when the enemy is around their compound, almost every leader I know, whether it's this guy down in Waco, Texas, or Hitler, or any Stalin, whoever, any of those guys, you know, Chinese guys, stuff like that, oh, they're all around us. I tell you what we do. Since I'm the most important person here, I'll hunker down here. You go out and die. You go out and fight for it. You go out and die because I got to live. Jesus said, no. We don't do it that way here. You stay here where it's safe. I'll go out and die.
Amen.
So that you can live.
Amen.
No other world leader ever even thinks that way. And he said, it's finished. Finished the work. He prayed, I have finished the work that thou gavest me. He suffered, he died, he rose again. Because this is the work that no man could do. Only himself. No man could cure himself. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could come up with a cure for sin? But the cure is already, it's finished.
Amen.
There already is a cure for sin.
Yeah, amen.
You can leave here. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Little Bible study. I won't keep you long, really. We won't be bored to death. Ephesians chapter 2. I love this passage. I love a lot of them, but by the way, who was asking about the words of God in red? My Bible, sister, the words of God are in black. Just want to let you know that, amen. I learned that a long time ago, amen. The words of Christ are in red in mine, but I say the words of God are in black. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, I love this, God's but, you know. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we, this is where we were, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 7 though. This is really cool. You got to get the idea here. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That's a mouthful. What's he saying there? That in the ages to come, maybe in a million years or 5 minutes or something like that, Jesus Christ can... He looks, I don't know, I'm just making this part up, but maybe he looks over the banister at heaven and says, Hey, Gabriel, hey, you saints, you want to see my trophy? You want to see the monument to my grace?
Amen.
Look at Brother Dale.
Amen. Yes.
And look at Tim in the back row there. Look what I've done.
Amen.
Look how I've worked with these. Look. Is this grace or what? And I'll say, yeah, you have. We remember, right?
Yeah.
That's what we're his trophy case to his grace, his goodness to us. We are, and it's good. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. Are we his finished work? Are we mature? Or are we the workmanship? Are we like the clay? We're just like, oh, gotta start again, you know? We're on the potter's wheel, and it's just a lump, and oh, man, that lump, you know what happens with clay? It's hard. You can't work it. So you just throw it back in there, you know? Are we still moldable? Are we still pliable? Is he still able to work? Will you respond at the master's touch? Or is it, okay, it was done. Start another one, you know. Recall. I think it happens a lot. Wow. We, at which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wow. How can we not finish this work? Amen. I hate leaving things undone. It bothers me. If I go to Vietnam, and I go maybe a month at a time, something like that, if I have some project in the works, and I have to leave it, it bothers me the whole time I'm in Vietnam.
Yep.
When I get back, as soon as I get back, as soon as I can get my bearings and take care of some other things, I want to finish that project. It might be running some plumbing to a dripping sink or something. It's just, I got to get it done. Look at God's given us the honor, the privilege to do a little work for Him here, both with ourselves and for Him out with the community, out with the people we know and meet, right? There's this job. It's not a coincidence that at the end of 28th chapter of Matthew, the Great Commission, go teach all nations, right? It just isn't randomly put in there. The whole gospel, the whole life account leads up to that. Now I'm leaving. Here's your job to do. Do you think you can do it? I think you can, because I'm leaving it with you. Bye. By the way, my spirit will come with you. So you're not really alone. You're actually going to do more than if I was here in the flesh. It's not a coincidence, but we have this work to do, and we got to get it done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You are a Bible reader, you know where I'm going. This is the Apostle Paul. It's his last words. He's about to be executed. And he says these things. This is, you know, I want to be like this. Chapter 4, or in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. Amen? Pastor Hayne, can I tell you something? Something I don't want to embarrass you, but I really appreciate. I mean, to preach with Pastor Asquith, who's like, I'm like an 8-track and he's an MP3, you know what I mean, in Bible study. He's just in a different orbit. Then to have Pastor Hayne, how many years were you in ministry?
47.
47 years.
Amen.
I feel like a boy with short pants. But I really appreciate what you're doing. You know what, I see you, I hope I'm not putting you far out of. He's saying this with his life. I fought a good fight. He did a lot. But I want to finish stronger. I want to finish strong. I don't want to just go, right? Okay, I'm retired. I'm going to go to Florida, God's waiting room, and just hang out and golf. He's going to, maybe you like Florida, I don't know. But I'm glad you're here. You know what? He's a help. He's finishing strong. Amen? Now, I'm 50-something, but I still want to finish strong.
Yeah,
I still think I'm going up, but maybe, you know.
Really?
I want to finish strong, though. I don't want to just fizzle out and just be a wannabe working in some back nowhere, doing nothing, just collecting money and watching TV and smoking cigarettes and drinking a bottle of wine. What kind of life is that? That's not living. That's just existing. Amen? I want to live. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is my life.
Amen.
Let's finish strong. I'll tell you something else you probably won't believe, but years ago I was a runner. I used to run these 10K, 5K races. Me and I, Joe Vitelli, I get up at 4:30 in the morning before work. And he lived in a housing tract in Hamlin, New York. And Joe was a big guy, big Italian guy. He's about 230 pounds. I was running around 210 at the time. And we'd get out there, we'd plod down those streets practicing, you know. We'd do the program from couch potato to racing spud in 2 months. And so in the fall, we'd run by the neighbors, the lights would come on, the motion detector lights, so we'd be illuminated as we go. And these Clydesdales, you know, we ran in the Clydesdale class, you know. If you're over 200, it's the Clydesdale. So they put you in the back so you don't hurt the people that want to go around you, you know. And every Thanksgiving day, it's the Race with Grace, George Grace's church, and we do a 10K, it's 6 miles, 6.2 miles. And I was into it one year, did it in 48 minutes. I always lived, but I gotta tell you, the experience is really interesting. You find out it's a lot like life. People begin, I think they wake up Thanksgiving morning, and they see a bowl and say, oh, look, there's a race down the street. And they go join. Yeah, I think, oh, let me just clear off that gallon of ice cream I had last night and steak and stuff. Yeah, I used to do that, yeah. I can't remember when, but I used to run. I'll find my sneakers. Or the day before, they'd go down to like Dick's Sporting Goods store and they'd buy new stuff, new running jacket, nylon, windbreakers, and $100 sneakers. You can't call them sneakers, running shoes, right? $100 running shoes. Sneakers, but you know, we'd they'd get out there, and on race day, you know, there's hundreds of people. It's really fun, and we're in the back third, Joe and I, and we're trotting along. You know, my whole goal is just to beat Joe, even by a second. I guess got to beat Joe, you know, and the gun would go, and of course, all the gazelles, they're gone. You know, and just see the backs of them for a second. You know, the gazelles, they're just. It's just not fair. God made, I mean, their hips, they're 5'9" like me, but their belt's like here. They're like leg from here. They have this much chest and shoulder. And they're gazelle. They're punching the pavement. The houses are bouncing, you know, moan. You know, we plod on. After a mile or so, you start seeing stuff that it's kind of like running the race in life. You see, someone, they bought that fancy thing. You see, in the ditch, they start jettisoning their fancy stuff. It's too hot, it's not comfortable, or so on. You go on down a little, about the 3-mile mark, and man, it's getting hot, and you see the guy, he thought he could just run his race, but he didn't count the cost. Uh-huh. Ill-prepared, not trained at all. He's over there, and he's on all fours along the ditch. And that steak and that ice cream, oh, he's getting his money's worth. It's coming back around, right? You know? Oh, what are you talking to down there? You're talking to the road ditch? You know, you go on by, you just keep going, oh, God, I can't stop here. You know, that stinks, you know? You go on down and people are sweating. And I tell you, about the 4 or 5 mile mark, there's a little stretch. Road, it's on Manitou Road. You come down the mill and you come up Manitou. When you're driving a car, you don't even notice it. When you're running, you've been running for 4 miles. And you make that turn and it's uphill. It's a slight uphill grade. It's kind of like maybe somewhere you are right now in your life.
Uh-huh.
You've been running a while and you're tired. And you hit that little uphill grade and it just seems like a mountain.
It's good.
You just go, oh, man. And you just, oh, where did that hill come from? You know, and for me, if I, instead of making a left, if I could make a right, Lucy's mother's house is a mile down the road, and she's making Thanksgiving dinner. I could just go right down there. I mean, I can smell the turkey and the stuffing, everything cooking, you know. She's Polish. She cooks for an army still, you know. And I could be the army, you know. But no, I make the left, and I go up mill, and, you know, one more step. I'm going to quit when I get to that sign, right? I'm gonna run till I get to that flag, and I go to that. Okay, I'll go to that garage. Okay, I'll go to that next road sign. Okay, I'll go to where that old lady's that crippled old lady that's beating me. I'll go there, you know, and I'll go where she is now, and then I'll go on. And pretty soon, you know, it's kind of just like our life. You hear it? Maybe you're there. You're just hitting that grade. It's hard. Amen?
Amen, brother.
It's hard. Take another step. Amen? Don't quit now. Go a little further, okay? Just keep on keeping on. Finish. Because I got to tell you what happens. You go around Mill and you come back on North Greece Road. When you make the corner at North Greece Road, the road levels out and you start hearing something. You start hearing the cheering from the finish line about a mile away. Other people are coming on home. Amen?
Amen.
Some people have already made it on home. They're there ahead of you. Mm-hmm. There's some people behind you. And when you just get a sense of that, I'm going to finish. And I'm going to finish strong. You just get a little kick going. And you catch up to that, I'm not going to let that old woman beat me. And you push her into the ditch, you know. And you go on down and, you know, I don't know where Vitelli is, but I hope she didn't push him in the ditch, you know. And you go on down the thing and you come around the corner, you come in the ditch, and there they all are. There's the ribbon. It's home. And I don't know what happens, but suddenly you just start to sprint. Where'd that come from? Oh, I want to come home. finish strong.
Amen.
I don't care about my time. I don't care about Clydesdale. I'm never going to win this race. I want to start and I want to finish.
Amen.
Do you want to finish?
Yes, sir.
Come on, keep on keeping on. Amen. One more step. When they hired me at a factory, they looked at my diploma from a college, and they said, you know, we don't really use any of these things you learn. I go, why did I go to that? He goes, here's what we look for. We know that college is a community college, Erie Community College. We know it's a joke. The teachers are the people that didn't make it in our industry. They went over and they taught. I go, well, what's the point? He goes, you started it. And despite difficult circumstances, despite distractions, besides having lousy cars and you had to hitchhike and all that stuff, you finished, and you finished in the top 10%. That's what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. We're going to train you our own way anyway.
Amen.
But when you start something, we're going to make an investment in you. We want to know we got somebody that's going to finish what they start.
Amen.
Is that the way you are? Are you going to finish this? Are you gonna just finish? Are you gonna finish strong? Can you sense? Can you finish? The finish line's not too far away, amen.
Yeah.
You don't have to read Blood Moon and Israel and all kind of the nation and the debt and so on. This can't go on forever like this. Amen? I don't know the time, but there's gonna be an end.
That's right.
And I think that the end is coming up. I think it's just around the bend. Right now we're on that we're on Mill Road. It's hot. And it's hard. And it's a little uphill grade for me. And I'm really not as in good shape as I wish I had been. But by God, I'm going to keep going. Things don't always go my way. But I'm going to keep going.
Amen.
Are you going to keep going?
Amen, brother. Amen. Yes.
Finish it. Finish it. I got another point, but I might, you know what, that's enough. If I haven't made the point, another point's not going to help. Solomon finished the work. One of the reasons he finished the work was everything has already been provided by his father. Right? He didn't have to gather the gold and stuff. His father delivered all those things to him. All he had to do was take it and finish it. All we have to do is take what God has given us. Our Heavenly Father has blessed us abundantly. Come on, let's finish it. That includes the work in you. If you're flexible, if you can give a little, if you can change a little, He'll change you a little. And He'll mold you, and He'll mold you, and you'll be more and more like Him. That's called maturity. That's called perfection. Let's finish strong. Amen. Pastor.
Amen. Hey. Pastor Payne, I'm going to have you finish this entire service. However you want to finish the service. Psalm, say something, whatever, you close the service.
You're still home, Pastor.